I don't wear contacts because I don't have them.
I went with Hubble and got a bunch of them for a dollar. It was great. Anyway, welcome to the Toddcast. We are live.
I would like to make a special introduction. Sure. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, get ready because we have the fantastic Rachel with us today. Rachel used to work for us at New Dimension Comics at the Waterfront, and she is the co-founder of Boy Band Friday with me.
That's true.
Boy Band Fridays to irritate nice. All the Magic players. So welcome, Rachel, to the New Dimension Comics Presents.
I was actually recently talking to, I think it was my husband. We were in the car, and an NSYNC song came on our playlist. Uh-huh. I got on the table, and I was like, "Time Cop and I had the best harmonies to this." And he was like, "What?" And I was like, "You don't understand. We had natural harmonies."
Yep.
And it was a thing of beauty, and John never witnessed it, and probably never will.
I do not believe I've ever seen that, nor do I think I kind of want to.
No, we are signed up under a fake name for a booth at the con, and it's the two of us just doing NSYNC.
So. Right.
NSYNC karaoke, but only Tim and I get to sing.
Well, I mean, now what you need to do is you need to find two other people, and when we bring cosplay karaoke back, come back as a boy band and do that.
Okay, but dibs on Joey Fatone.
I'll take Lance, I guess. I'll take Lance.
That suits you.
Wow.
Worst case scenario, me and my husband are going to the moon, so I'll take Lance Bass.
Okay, done.
I mean, if I had to join, I'd probably be CJ or JC, right? JC,
Chazez,
yeah, Chazez,
or whatever his name. JC. Yeah,
he had the
thing on your head, though.
Right. He had the best freaking single after they all broke up, the Blowing Me Up. That was the best single ever out of all of them outside of Timberlake. He had the best single, and then his career just shit the bed. So.
Yeah.
A little bit.
No one cares but Justin.
Well, what a
hot start.
We want to talk. We want to talk our comic reviews first, or
First, let me remind people about some cool events coming up. I need a second here to get to the webpage so I don't forget all of them.
Well, while you're doing that, I'll remind everybody that there is a Bad Idea comic book that's coming out on May 12th. It is $1, and it is for 24 hours only. So come to the store. Let us know. So we can pull it for you. But even when we pull it, you still have to come in and pick it up that Wednesday. Otherwise, they all go back. Whatever doesn't sell goes back. So they are doing really cool stuff.
Really, it's crazy. Cool. It really is. I like it.
So if you want to get in on some cool comic experiences, they are doing things outside of just comics. So be a part of it. Come down May 12th. Get that book. It's $1. $1.
And if you haven't picked up Tankers yet, some of the stores still have Tankers. We reviewed it a couple weeks ago. Giant robots shooting dinosaurs with Brit missiles. Come check it out. And then also ENYAQ 2s and second prints of number one are also out. Remember, you can only buy one of each one. That is something we have to hold to them to carry their books. Yep. All right. So Saturday, May 1st, right? Yeah, May 1st. Holy crap. It's coming up so quick. The half off dollar book sale. Every single store, all their dollar books are going to be half price. Crazy, crazy. That's a lot of books, especially at Waterfront Mills in Ohio Valley, and especially Elwood. Cranberry, not so much. Butler gets better. So go check it out. Then we have in May also, we may have this thing that you may see behind me, Three Rivers Comic Con Light. Ooh. I know. And most of the guest list is up. Just updated it today on the webpage. Some cool vendors. If you are a vendor and you see your name on there, but don't actually have a website linked on there, let me know. I'll add it to it so people can kind of peruse your wares. It'll be great. Also, remember, free admission. It's good times. Yep. And lastly, the 5th of June is our NDC Million Comic Sale. This is the first weekend of June every year, and we open up not one, not two, but three buildings in Elwood with shit tons of dollar books.
I think it was a quadruple.
Yeah, I think you did one. You did like the warehouse in there. We're back it up. We're not going to the warehouse.
I'm taking one back.
There you go. So it's gonna be a great time with that. That we are doing early bird basement deals. You can sign up for that through our website. You can buy the link, and then the store emails you and talks to you and says, "Hey, when do you want to come in?" They work it out. You come in and you get the basement to yourself per box you buy. So you cannot bring a friend to help you fill that box during the early bird, but it is kind of cool to just watch. There's a couple guys that come in, they just put in their earbuds and they just rock and roll, man. Like one guy in 3 hours had four long boxes of stuff. It was crazy. It was awesome. So definitely check that out. There will not be a box deal on the Million Comic Sale, so you have to make sure you do that through the early bird.
And bring your kids too, because sometimes it's hard to get a good connection sometimes. I think with 5G towers going up, besides giving us all diseases because it's 5G towers, you know, bring your list. I was going for a joke and then it turned in. It was like, whoa, Tim's getting real dark here. So, but anyways.
And I'm going to turn it even darker because okay. I got a little before we started this, I got a text from one of our avid customers from the mills who informed me that another one of our avid customers from the mills dad passed away on Monday. So Spicy, I am thinking of you, buddy. Wrong moment. Wrong moment. but Spicy Curry. Spicy Curry's dad. We're thinking of you. So
I feel like there's a fight later.
As we get a husband bomb all the time.
I'm not sure if you realized we were already live and that you were talking about something kind of serious.
No.
Oh, yeah.
So now he's walking away to help between his legs. So we're good.
Right. Well, I know that. Boom. Putting him in his place. No, it's all good.
Like the hand. Work from home, everybody. Podcast from home.
Wow.
You're like, anyway, I'll photobomb your podcast, buddy.
Right? We're going to totally photobomb your podcast. It's going to be great. So, we're going to get in the chat and just dick pics.
No, I'm already a woman on the internet. Please don't do that
to me. Dick Grayson pics. That's what I meant to say. All Dick Graysons. Nightwings forever.
I will accept that kind of dick pic.
I mean, he does have Gotham's ass. Like, let's be fair. So
I ain't wrong.
All right, cool. I guess we could talk comics first, and then we'll talk a little bit about our crazy topic. Just so you guys know, our crazy topic tonight is we're calling it Old Friends. So we're going to talk about, after we're done with new books, three characters, titles, or a specific story that you will reread and reread and reread till you die, because they are your go-to things that pick you up out of whatever craziness is going on. So think about that. Put yours in the chat so that we can talk about them a little later. Ron, talking to you. And we'll and now we'll talk about comics for a little bit.
Should I do, when we do that, you want me to do like an intro, like, thank you for being a friend. Like, you want me to sing the whole song?
I mean, I don't know if you want to do the whole song, but if you want to do that again, that'd be all
right. Okay, I'll do that again. I'll see if I hit that note.
All right, I'm going to have you go first.
Okay.
So I'm going to let you do Justice League.
Justice League. I wanted to review this one again because I did the 59, which was the first part, was the first one in Infinite Frontier. So I wanted to do this one again just to... It was very short, and I wanted to see if this one started to get somewhere, and it does. This is Black Adam Teth Adam, which I didn't even know that was his name because I don't know a lot about the character, Teth Adam. He from Kandik? Is that how you say it?
I just usually said like ancient Egypt because okay, that's that was the area that they always assumed it was from, I believe.
So this left off the previous issue with him confronting Naomi. This opens up with that confrontation. And she's totally going to take him on. And then she looks away. And when she turns back, he's gone. Superman swoops in, grabs him. He's like, what's up, man? Like, we're going to go have a little bit of a chat. And then he finds out that Black Adam's actually there because he needs help. Because this Brutus guy has attacked. Stay on this because I'm going to talk about this
for a bit.
But he needs help. That Brutus guy that was in the first issue that attacks Naomi has now attacked Black Adam's home, and Superman is making a case. As we talked about in the last issue, he wanted fresh blood. Always said we need fresh blood, so he's making a case for Black Adam to be in the Justice League, and. Green Arrow's like, people don't change, okay? He's like, this is, you know, you're bad, you're bad. And Superman says, that's not true. I changed, you've changed. And he tells him how he's changed, and Flash points out that he just got burned with a compliment. Which was absolutely hilarious to me because it was... So the whole issue is, or at least the first three quarters of it, is a lot of setup with Black Adam joining the team. Naomi already seems to be kind of on the team by association because he had encountered her. So I think she's going to be sticking around, but there's not a conversation about her being part of the team yet. I think it was Hephaestus shows up later in the issue because this Brutus guy is attacking the Amazon ladies. He's trying to kill them all. And there's a little bit of fight going on there. Builds up to some cool moments. But if you were wondering after that first issue, number 59, whether you wanted to read this book or not, definitely picks up in this issue. And the artwork is still fantastic. So I would say that this is a thumbs up, that this book is something that if you're a DC fan should be added to your pool. I probably won't review another one unless there's a big story change. I wanted to do this one just since I did the last one, but I would definitely add this to your pool, guys. It's a good book.
Cool. All right. My first book is The Girls of Dimension 13.
Ooh.
So this book is by Graham Nolan, who created Bane, right? And Brett Blevins. And it's like kind of like a weird, almost like a, how do I even explain this? All right, so like a bunch of girls get contacted by this old lady that say, we're going to let you stay in my house in New York for free because you're special. And they're all like, okay, I'm going to move to New York and live there for free because I'm special. And right. So you can already see how that was a little bit awkward.
That doesn't seem sketchy at all.
Right. Not sketchy one bit. So the butler guy's there and he's welcoming them all there. And he's like, hey, basically you can live here for free as long as you take care of the dog and then don't go in this one room. Like, duh, right? Like, don't go in this one room. Big plot, right? So two of the girls find out that they're, like, into surfing, and then the rest of them kind of drink, like, they just all hang out drinking wine, and then they all, like, you know what? Fuck this. Let's go in that room. Because, you know, I don't know if they were, like, wine drunk or if they were just curious. I don't know. So you go in there.
And Fluffy in that room.
What's that?
Is there a three-headed dog named Fluffy in that room?
No.
Okay.
To be fair to them, being wine drunk is great. That's how I got on with this podcast.
It's true. Rachel was wine drunk. I was just like, hey guys, you know, it'd be great. Let me come on there and talk about Captain America. It'll be great. And we're like, all right, sure. So that's how you get on here.
That's how you get on here. Is you drunk text them about Falcon Winter Soldier when you're a little wine drunk, and then boom. Right.
Easy. Done. So anyway, these ladies find this magic mirror that makes them feel all kinds of weird. The dog starts barking. They run out. Then it cuts to the two girls who went surfing on a subway with like shirts on and then bikini bottoms. Like, I'm like, I don't know any woman who would be comfortable without pants on in a New York City subway.
Everything about that just dirty.
I'm just like, I don't know. So this gang of guys then, you know, try to like attack them slash, I don't know if they were eventually going to try to rape them. I don't know what was going on, but they were trying to attack him with a knife. It was bad. Nice. So the one girl uses her powers to distort this dude's arm so that it's like, I don't even know, like, you probably can't see it with the background. His arm basically turns into jelly, like literal jelly, but still an arm. And then the other girl, she turns on her powers and sucks them all into like a black hole. And she's like, where did they go? She's like, I don't know. I never know where they go. And I was like, well, so you kind of find out they all have these powers, right? I won't tell you what the other twos are. I'll let you find that out for yourself. But then they go and they decide to, the one girl is being called to the mirror in the room. So she goes to the mirror in the room and somebody saves her from that. And all the girls are there and it is a really cool cliffhanger. And I'm not going to tell you what it is because you should check it out. But I was super surprised. I was not expecting what the cliffhanger was to be. So definitely check that out. It was a lot of fun.
I have two thoughts.
Sure.
If you are in the subway, I can let you know, pants will slow you down as to not having pants on. And if you have a pizza and there's a rat that tries to take your pizza, I would probably want to have just bikini bottom on so I could get my pizza and run. Because there are famous rats in New York that like to take the pizza. The other thing is, you said, who was the artist? Test it out. Oh, yeah. Brett Blevins was the artist.
Yeah.
I played hockey with a guy named BJ Blevins, and he left a nice hockey ball mark on my inner thigh that's probably still kind of there. So,
do you only see it when you wear bikini bottoms?
Yep, that's where my pizza is going to get taken. So,
that's how I found out.
I don't want people to know.
All right. Okay.
Nice book. That was weird.
Your next book is The Women of Marvel.
Yeah, I was really kind of bummed by this book because I bought it because the Marvel Voices I was expecting kind of that. You know, they did the Marvel Voices and they did some really cool stories with that. And I bought this. The covers were great for these books. There was some fun stories in there. The first one, I think, is a Peach Momoko one, which is Lady Deathstrike. And she gets...
Oh, my God, that's hilarious.
It's hilarious, but... but the thing that I think irritated me was there's too many of those kind of stories in this. And I think if you're going to celebrate women in a comic book, like, I want to see stories about strong women and... you know, things like that, kind of like we saw in Endgame when they all kind of teamed up. I wanted to see more stuff like that, not like, hey, here's Medusa from the Inhumans getting her hair done at a salon, and here's Lady Death getting her nails done. So I thought that they kind of missed
the... Listen, Tim, I don't think you understand that women actually get their nails that big and look like that, though. Well, like, my wife watches this crazy show about these, like, this salon in Jersey and like, no shit, the nail person makes like 4-inch fake nails, and like one time she had like a fucking teacup that actually poured tea into a cup. Like, it was like insane, like all the crazy shit. And they, like, I'm like, how do you drive, how do you function with nails that long? Anyway,
I believe it, but I'm just, I mean, Rachel, you tell me, like, if they were, they're doing a comic that's, you know, like a women's month celebrating women, I don't know, if they do a bunch of stories that are getting their hairs done and their nails done.
Yeah, that seems very superficial. Yeah. Can I ask who all, because I didn't really know about this book, who all were the authors for this? Like, were they male?
Oh, there's like 15.
And they're all women, I think.
Yeah.
Frustrating.
You know, I mean, so you can't be like real mad because it's not like it was just like some dumb guy writing a, like, because he didn't understand it. But there's some cool moments. Like, you've got the Peggy Carter Captain America here, or the Sharon Carter Captain America. Which was from the Exile story from 2018.
Making a Doctor Who joke, which is even funnier.
Which is great. We love that.
And that's kind of like her Bucky, I think. But, you know, this was a really good story. This one in here. What was the next one I had on there? This one was silly as hell. It's Mystique and Stegron, the Dinosaur Man, and they've clearly captured Dr. Allen Grant.
wait,
go ahead, process it.
Goldblum in this?
No, he's not.
Damn it. Okay, right. Then I don't care, I'm not gonna read it, it's not right. Worth it.
Missed opportunity.
You can't have, because the Life Has a Way with the mutants would have been too easy.
Yeah, but still would have been, they should have done it. So it was an okay book. I just wanted more stories like the Sharon Carter Captain America. I wanted more strong stories like that, and less stuff like, oh, I'm getting my hair done. Because there was, I mean, when they did one with Medusa getting her hair done in the salon, I was like, that's too easy. Like,
everyone has already made that joke.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I think there's a time for that kind of a thing in a story. Like, it's, and I've seen it done well. Like, there's been issues of Avengers books where it's like Captain Marvel when she was still Miss Marvel, Spider-Woman and Black Widow, like, sunbathing on the roof drinking drinks while they're like talking about how stupid all the dudes in the team are, you know. And I'm like, I get that, you know. Or they're like, oh my god, like, I don't need this part of my suit. Or, oh, I really like your new thing and your new suit's really cool. Like, and they're like actually talking like legitimately cool things, but yeah, you know, you don't see like but you also don't see an issue of like Tony Stark and Rhodey sitting there sunbathing, you know, talking about that kind of stuff. Or like Iron Fist getting a manicure, like like,
yeah,
I would read that though.
I mean, I would read it too, just because I would like to see that happen. But you don't see that. So I agree, kind of. It does kind of feel like a letdown. I flipped through some of it.
There was so many of them. There's like 15 stories in this issue, and a majority of them are those kind of stories. And I think that's what, like, if you have like one or two, like, okay, that's, you know, that's fine. Like, what you're talking about. But to have the majority of them be like that was kind of a little bit of a bummer. And there's not really any spoilers in this because it's just a bunch of short stories, so, you know, not spoiling it.
I mean,
but check it out. I mean, if you want to check it out, check it out. I think it's still worth it for obviously the Stegron and Mystique story. So
that sounds funny. Although I am very upset Ian Malcolm is not in that, so yeah. I'm a little less inclined.
There's the one that I was
starting out at like a 9 out of 10, and then I can only go down from there.
Yeah,
that was that's a big offense.
The Agent Carter one was the longest one, right?
That one, and there was one with
I think the Mystique one is also pretty long.
The Mystique one was 3 or 4 pages, and I think the Marrow one was a few pages as well. So
Marrow, yeah,
yeah.
Oh, the Medusa one is literally one page.
Yeah, it's just like the same thing as the first one. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the She-Hulk one looks really good.
The She-Hulk one was pretty good.
The Jean Grey one's one page. Yeah, I can definitely see why some of that would have been a little bit awkward. So anyway. I'll reread it and check it out. But yeah, that is kind of a bit of a letdown. Like, I would have thought that they would have made it a little more badassy, but
yeah,
whatevs. We're not Marvel. All right, my next book is Alien number two. And I keep thinking every time I look at this cover that the guy in the cover kind of looks like the guy playing Jacob Kane on Batwoman.
He looks like, I think he looks like John Cena. He's got big ears.
Maybe. But anyway, like, so this kind of picks right up where the other one left off, where now there's a bishop going, hey man, so these guys got into the space station right after, or with your key code, we're going to send you up there with two new dudes. You need to find out what's going on and bring back the alpha specimen. And they're like, we don't care about anything else, just that one. So they didn't brief the guys that were going up there. Awesome alien face hugger action happens. Lots of killing, lots of like gunfire, and we get to see a full xenomorph in action. If you like Alien, the Alien stories, this book is awesome. I was not one of those people, but holy crap, is this book really good? So,
The artwork looks fantastic. I haven't read it yet, but every time I check it in, I flip through it, and the artwork looks awesome. So.
Yeah, Salvador LaRocca is really, really good. I loved his Iron Man run. So
he's good at capturing likenesses of people. Sometimes there's a panel or two that looks kind of odd, but that's the whole reason that he was on the Star Wars run when they first brought Star Wars back. You know? Right. So.
Cool. All right. Your next one. I think I have to set it up here for a second. So give me 1 second.
I'm trying to think what my last one was. Oh, is it Jonah and the Impossible Monster?
Jonah, the Impossibles. Yes.
I read 4 because John and I forgot which ones I was supposed to be reading, and I read one that John read, but it's okay.
Okay.
So Jonah and the Impossible Monster. This started out, if you remember, in the first issue, and this is Chris Samnee and his wife. It started off with Rainbow, who you see on the cover, and her sister Jonah, and she's attacking a monster, and then she gets knocked out and disappears, and the whole first issue is her trying to find her sister. This issue visually is fantastic, as always, with Chris Samnee, but the story was a little bit of a letdown because it's still the sister searching for Jonah. And about 3/4 of the issue is her just walking through these fantastic like landscapes looking for her. She comes across the giant monster fight, which I think I have a picture that I sent you.
That one?
Yeah, that one. Yeah. So some really cool artwork in this book. And then at the end, she encounters her sister, and there's some weird things going on with her sister. And I don't know if it's from the hit that she, you know, gave the monster in the previous issue, but I don't want to really spoil that part of it. But she does come in contact with her sister, but something's changed because this is a year later. So don't forget that. But yeah, it was a little bit of a letdown because it was such a quick read. There wasn't a lot of text. It was more just, you know, looking at Chris Samnee's art and recognizing how beautiful it is in his style. But as far as story goes, it was a little bit slow. So I'm hoping that this third issue really starts to, now that she's come in contact with her sister, that it picks up. Otherwise, this might be one that I drop soon if it doesn't pick up. So
I really feel that DC, if anyone from DC is listening or watching, you need to put Chris Samnee on an Amethyst book, because I feel that this is right up his alley.
Yeah. So. Yeah,
would be gorgeous. Yeah. Cool. All right. My last book, and since Tim already sent some photos, I'm just going to click over. Way of X. So actually, you sent a couple pictures of this. So this is mostly a Nightcrawler and Magneto story, in my opinion. Mostly Nightcrawler. Magneto's kind of the antagonist a little bit, and it's kind of interesting because Nightcrawler has always been this really devout Catholic guy, and this book you see him really kind of get shaken on the religious end. His beliefs are challenged because the mutants can be reborn on Krakoa, so there's no real afterlife, and death is now kind of meaningless. Where Magneto looks at it as, like, you know, mutants are the new gods, basically. So there's a very interesting scene in here, and I don't know which one you sent.
Yeah, this was an early scene. I just wanted to point this out because it pays off a little bit later. This is Magneto or Professor X looking at a picture of a wife or somebody that he was with and what is maybe their child. But the next one that I sent you, this kind of goes in with what you were talking about. He says, Nightcrawler, you know, your problem is you're so busy looking for snakes, you can't see Eden. And he's trying to tell him, like, you need to wake up. We found paradise. And like you said, we're the gods. Stop looking for gods because we're the gods now.
Yeah. And I really like that line too.
The snakes in Eden.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked it too. I thought that was a really powerful line for this story. And it's a really good Nightcrawler story because, like you said, he's very religious. And the fact that they have this crucible, so there's two aspects. If you're not reading X-Men right now, anybody, they can resurrect them. And if you are one of the mutants that was depowered by Scarlet Witch when she said no more mutants, they have this process called the Crucible. And the way that works is you basically pick somebody to fight and they fight you to the death and they kill you. That way you can be reborn and you'd have your powers back. And Nightcrawler has a big problem with that. So that's a big part of the whole story. This was pretty cool. This was Dr. Nemesis.
Yeah, that was kind of cool to see him come back because I haven't seen him in forever. And he's growing psychedelic mushrooms on his head, which is awesome.
We love that.
As you do, you know.
He even gives Nightcrawler one.
Yep, hey, that's it. Don't look at that. All right. Quick, go back. So it was definitely interesting, and there's another side story about all the kids on Krakoa keep hearing this crazy story about the Patchwork Man.
Yeah,
and they think he doesn't exist. They think he might exist, and Xavier is also having this crisis of conscience about something that you find out later is related to the panel Tim showed you. It's related to the Patchwork Man, and he sends Nightcrawler to find that guy. And when you find out who he is, it's kind of cool. I'm because that specific character has not been seen on Krakoa yet, and I'm very interested to see how that's going to turn out because we haven't seen him at all in a while.
He's like the Slender Man of this story.
I was really hoping it'd be like Quilt Man from DC, and they just got the rights to him. Like,
I thought that when I saw the costume, you could see I was like, oh, they're actually calling him the Patchwork Man because he has patches on his clothes.
Yeah.
I thought that was, it was a really good book. I think that was probably my favorite of the ones that I read this week. But I'm surprised for you too, because I know you're not a Hickman fan. I know he didn't write it, but it's also his direction on X-Men. So, I think that shows what a good book it is that you liked it too. So,
well, I've always been a Nightcrawler fan, and a book that makes you question your faith has always been something I've been interested in because I believe everyone should believe in whatever they want, right? However, it is interesting to see what can shake someone that hard to make them think about, not believing in what they believed in forever. So that's just been, that's kind of my reason for checking that out. I thought it was well written. Like the actual crucible scene where Magneto is just like go into like stoning someone basically to death is crazy. So
that's called a one-up.
To say are there no sleeves on that shirt? That is hot.
Just got long arms that they don't make
right shirts. Oh no, maybe there are sleeves and I missed it.
Right. I think, and this is a little off, little different. That was why I'm one of the few people that liked the ending of Lost.
And I liked the ending of Lost.
I liked it because of that, because they didn't say, hey, this is God or this is hell. It was, what are your religious beliefs? And they kind of left it up to your interpret. They didn't say like, this is Catholic, this is Buddhism, any of that stuff. It was, there's an afterlife, and it was kind of your interpretation of it. And I like that because it kind of grabs everybody. So it was just, I wanted to make that point because you were talking about that. So
anyways. I enjoyed it. It's good times. All right. Anyway, so I guess we should talk to Rachel a little bit more about Rachel. So again, thank you for coming on.
I've been enjoying listening to this because now I have books I want to read. We talked about it. I'm like over like a year behind in all my comic book reading. It's fine.
holy shit. Hold on. This is my unread pile. Oh my God. Just so you know. So okay. Tim's like, here's my short box.
Probably, believe it or not, it's probably a long box, but I didn't want to say anything. I wasn't going to be like, I'm one up in you, but you brought it up. So it's about a long box.
If I'm the one that's most cut up, something wrong in here. Something is very wrong here. But anyway, so Rachel used to work for us, and now she lives in Ohio, out in Columbus.
Yeah. And sometimes mistakes, but that's okay. You moved to Ohio.
Yeah.
It happens.
I mean, yeah, I guess it does.
I just like to give her a hard time because it's Ohio, so.
It is Ohio, but I mean, it's Columbus. Yeah.
Columbus is very nice. It's
probably Ohio.
We've been to some Penguins games in Columbus and some concerts in Columbus. And Columbus is like almost kind of like a mini Pittsburgh.
It's drivable, better, cleaner Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's actually very nice. So if I was going to go to Ohio, it would be Columbus or probably Cincinnati, because I don't count Cincinnati as Ohio. It's like, hey, look how nice we are, and we're right there next to like Kentucky. It's like Cincinnati, hold your breath, you're in Kentucky.
Yeah.
Columbus is nice. So anyways.
And in that, you're shopping with some friends of ours out there, right?
Yeah. So I've been getting, like I said, I'm like way far behind and I haven't seen them in a minute, but my go-to comic book store in Columbus, in the Hilliard area, is Pack Rat Comics.
Awesome.
And they are a lot of fun and I do like them.
They are a good time.
But
they have a basement. With a lot of comics in it. Not just a creepy basement.
Overwhelming. But yeah, so it's been fun. I wasn't a comic book reader until I started working at New Dimension. And then now I'm invested. So
we sucked you in.
But you're always like pop culture. I mean, you're a huge
always a big pop culture guy. Yeah.
Buffy is probably your number one jam, right?
Big Buffy guy. Yeah. Big Buffy guy. So yeah, we have spent way too much money going to like certain comic cons that are mostly media guest related. And spent a lot of money meeting a lot of the cast. And that's been really
which one, fun. Rachel? Which one?
You mean this one? Like this guy? Like Spike? Who is that? That's James Marsters. Okay, so I have to give myself a lot of shit here really quick because I remember I was fangirling so hard before we went to that Comic-Con and I was going to meet him for the first time, which I've met him like a couple of times now. And like, he knows who I am. Like, it's fine. But I remember before going to that con, anytime Tim and I were working together, I was like, so this song is great and it's about this. And I was like, looking back, I'm like, oh my God. Oh no. Like, Like, I don't know how Tim just didn't like yeet me out the door of just like, hey, fangirl, shut it.
It's music, and I'll listen to, if it's not country or polka, I'll No, you don't understand. I had to ride from Pennsylvania to Oklahoma in one day with my grandfather, and all he listened to was polka. You would be scarred.
That sounds okay with that. Like several therapy sessions worth of trauma.
Yeah, it is. But yeah, that's why I didn't say, because it's music, and I'll listen to, I'll try any music.
Yeah. Yeah, but I remember driving everyone crazy because I accidentally started taking control of music. But then I'm pretty sure quickly after that, you and the other Tim were like, no more, Rachel. And then I didn't. Especially before, they were like, yeah, so like only like managers are doing music. I'm like, what the hell is that a role? And they're like, you can't just, no.
Your fault. It's okay, but it's your fault.
It was still better than what Tim was listening to, because he was listening to, there was like a new Bastille album that had come out, and there was like two songs, and I heard
it wasn't this. It was Weird Al.
yeah Chip's the Weird Al guy. I mean, we all love Weird Al, but I think
we all love Weird Al, but like small doses.
Yeah, I feel like every time I go in there, I'm listening to the same playlist, because it's either like Weird Al, Weezer, Green Day, Transformers soundtrack, Real Big Fish, Blink 182, and then the random closing songs. And that's pretty much it. There's not a whole lot of different in there.
You were never there when Time Cop and I were working together, though. There was so much in sync happening.
Oh, no, I just tried to not be there those nights.
Whenever like the guys would come in to play Magic and they knew that Tim and I were working together, they'd be like... I saw some concerned looks, and I was like, well,
right. After you left, but I wanted to be boy band music, so I started playing the Mariah Carey Christmas song, All I Want for Christmas Is You. It would just be like July, play it on loop. And there's a kid that's like seven that comes and plays, and he's like, Tim, knock it off. I was like, that's when I knew I was probably going too far, when a seven-year-old, like, you know, was like, hey, I got to tell this guy to shut up.
Great. Yeah, I mean, I would always play at the Mills, because I always found myself at the Mills on Fridays, and we would always listen to, like, Dio. So so there you go. That's that's why.
You're different than us.
I'm saying that.
That's why you were invited to boy band.
What I'm saying is I can roll with you guys if I need to. But I'd rather listen to Dio.
Okay. Fair enough.
Although, to be fair, like when I have control of it, it's usually like Coheed and Cambria, Dream Theater, or Avenged Sevenfold, or Metallica, and that's pretty much, or like random punk station, possibly Eve Six station. Like, that's pretty much it.
We like to play Weezer a lot for one reason, because me and Tim like it, but also Chip kind of likes it, which is different because Chip doesn't, he's not real big into
music. Whoa. Does he like it or does he not hate it?
He likes it. Yeah, he likes it.
On the scale of dislike to hate, he's on the dislike end, right?
No, he's like eight towards the like. It's surprising. Oh, wow. Yeah.
No, it's
Michael likes it too. So, and that helps because Michael likes to play some really weird music. Sometimes I feel like
it's very clubby. It's kind of nice, actually.
It's clubby, but it also feels like someone's trying to put me in a trance.
Yeah.
So
makes your day even longer. It's fine. But yeah. Francis has been playing some like classics though. He's been playing like Queen and Kiss. I was in there the other day. I heard like six Kiss songs, and I was like, none of these are like radio hits. What is going on here?
Yeah, like, we played Joshua's Tree the other day.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Glad I'm not wasn't there, because I really don't like you two. Anyway, let's talk about our let's go to our topic for tonight. So
hello. Sorry.
Wow. All right. So are you gonna sing the song?
Oh yeah. Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road back again. All right.
Okay, I was gonna vote. That was very nice. Very nice. All right. So we'll do three each, and we'll just do one. Like, I'll do three, you do three, you do three, whatever.
What was it? Say one more time.
It's so these are, like, specific characters, specific, like, we'll just say properties, right? Okay. Like, a certain, like, TV show or a certain graphic novel, specific, like, storyline, or just a specific character thing in general that just can get you through pretty much any mood. Like, you listen to it and it rocks. So, like, for me, I can reread the Matt Fraction Hawkeye run every freaking day, and my life will be better every time I read it. Like, it does not get old to me, period. I can watch Scrubs every single day, and it would be awesome because it just there's it's so powerful and moving in there. And I know I probably just stole it for Tim, but and then there's like I could probably read like Green Lantern Blackest Night every day, like every day, because that story was so like huge, but yet they didn't let it was the first time I think I read a crossover event that didn't go too big. It was like just the right size. And it led into so many other cool things like the Larfleeze Christmas issue, which has a recipe for Christmas cookies in it, for Orange Lantern Christmas cookies in it. And I remember one time Jess, who used to work for us back in the day when that book came out, she made them for Christmas and brought them in for us. That's awesome. But those are the things like, I don't know if like, for those of you who haven't read the Matt Fraction run, like it is absolutely hilarious while still getting the job done of telling a great story. The random Russian tracksuit bad guys that it's like gibberish, 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 bro, gibberish, 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 bro. Like that's like my favorite like thing to see ever. Pizza dog, and then like the just weird thing that like every time one of his exes comes in, like Black Widow will show up and she'll have like a beehive and like Spider-Woman will show up and she'll have like a bob, like a mod haircut. Like, like there are all these like very specific, like 50s, 60s haircuts. And it's just real, like, what the fuck? Like, why would you do that? but it makes their character work so well. But it just cheers me up just going through it because it has enough serious tone that it works. And there's not really like a big bad guy ever. Like the biggest bad guy I think we saw in that was Madam Mask, right? Like it was very like spy-ish, noir-ish. And I mean that was just kind of my thing. So those are my three things that get me literally through anything. Like I can turn them on and if I'm feeling like crap, we'll be instantly good, or I can reread them and it'll cheer me up. So, Rachel, you want to go next?
Yes, I'll.
So we've already kind of touched on probably my main one, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and not just the show. I mean, the show is definitely my go-to. There are certain episodes. I mean, it's hard to stay in a bad mood when you watch the Buffy musical.
Yeah, right.
So that's like a good one where I can just kind of like throw it on and be like, I feel so much better.
They got the mustard out.
I'm so extra and I guess such like a white girl Buffy fan that they came out with the soundtrack on vinyl. I own this and it's great. So we pop that in during game nights a lot, but so yeah, just with everything with Buffy, but even more so thinking like characters and storylines. And this is something that actually had a friend and I get into a really deep conversation with just about the power of some of the storytelling in Buffy. Was even with the crossover characters that went over to Angel, and Angel's not that great of a show. It's only okay.
It's still good. Like, not as good, but it's still good.
It's still good, but really
it's my second favorite Whedon show, but whatever.
It's not my favorite. But anyway, so with Faith is one of those characters. My first watch through of Buffy, I was kind of wishy-washy about, but as I've gotten older and more depressed, I have really resonated with Faith. There's the one really powerful scene in Angel where she's, you know, going to kill Angel and then banging on his chest and like, kill me. Why won't you kill me? And she's like sobbing. And that to me was like, oh, I have depression. But I resonate with that. And that's one of those things where, you know, you watch that, but you watch a really powerful, badass female character go through all of that. And to me, that was just very, I don't know, really important to me and kind of my development in becoming a badass woman. But even with the comic books, I've read a lot of like the continuation of the story and some of like the offshoots. And there is a particular issue. Well, I guess it's, I don't know, it's like a longer kind of one shot that James Marsters wrote. And it's a Spike, storyline that takes place right after he gets his soul. And it's like between like when he leaves and gets his soul and then when he comes back to Sunnydale, it's called Spike Into the Light. And it's a great storyline. And I love that it's written by the actor, especially because the character was made for TV first and then transitioned to the comics. But it's a fun storyline and I love reading it because it's kind of like that cozy sweater of, you know, you're having a really bad day. You just watch Spike struggling to be a good person and he's trying really hard. And the whole storyline was like, I have a soul now. I can't just kill people to get my way. And the whole premise of the storyline is he needs a new pair of boots. And he's like, I can't just steal these boots and kill the store clerk, but I don't have any money. What do I do? And it's the whole, that's all the issue is, but it's so funny and it's so well written. And it's like that. And then, you know, that eventually the character goes back to Sunnydale and the storyline finishes out. So that's my show. And I guess my comic recommendation for kind of my security blanket. But then, I mean, and this is going to sound incredibly cliche, but the original Star Wars trilogy, I can watch back to back to back and just never get tired of it. You know, being a huge Star Wars fan, and I don't know, there's just something just really magical about the real effects of those movies and like the world building of it and what it's all now turned into. And I would even go back and just kind of like add the TV show, The Clone Wars. Because that's like, in my opinion, the best thing Star Wars has ever done is the Clone Wars. I think those are my old friends that I always go to.
And you just met virtually Ahsoka, right?
I did just meet Ahsoka. We did that? A virtual con. She did a panel with her and Matt Lanter, who does Anakin's voice. And we got a one-on-one video chat with her and she got to meet our puppy. I'm sure you guys have been hearing my dogs in the background this whole time. Hi, Bruce. So my one dog is Bruce Wayne. My other dog is Ahsoka, and Ahsoka got to meet Ahsoka. And that was really awesome. Cool. So in the video, my husband just like pulls her over, her little paws are like, hi. And then she goes away. So she was amazing and everything I wanted her to be. And I love her.
I agree with you on Clone Wars. I think that's one of the best things that they've done. And I was watching the Disney masterpiece or whatever it was where they did the behind the scenes for Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And I didn't know much about Dave Filoni who did Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. And I kept seeing penguins hat on. And I'm like, this dude's got a penguins hat on. This guy's awesome. So I was about to tweet him and I'm like, where's this guy from? And I looked it up. He's literally from like Century 3 Mall.
Yep.
And I'm like, what?
That's cool. Awesome.
The guy that's the new George Lucas. Yep. So you can be from Western Pennsylvania and be something.
Now the question is, do you think he grew up with Ming-Na Wen or knew she was also from Pittsburgh and went, I need to cast another Pittsburgh person, or I need to cast the Pittsburgher in here?
There was something I read they worked on something else together. Was why that he brought her in, but probably also
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. maybe? Did he do like a couple episodes of that?
I'm not sure, but there was something that he said that they worked on. I think she did voice acting for it, but I'll have to go back and look. But yeah, that was cool that she was in it too. But I agree with you. Clone Wars is awesome, and I can't wait because Bad Batch comes out next week.
Fourth.
Yeah, on the 4th.
So, I'm so excited for that.
Yeah. it's great too, because it's like, oh man, Falcon ends tomorrow. I gotta wait like 2 or 3 weeks for Loki. Oh no, I don't. Bad Batch comes on the following. Yeah. So yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Wait, is it my turn now?
Yeah, it's your turn. We're waiting on you, buddy.
There's three of us.
Oh crap, I wasted all this time listening and didn't think about what I wanted to say. Just kidding.
So my first thing that is like one of my go-tos is Back to the Future. And yes, that includes Back to the Future 3, but more specifically, Back to the Future 2 is, to me, the best of the trilogy. But there's something about Marty McFly, smart-ass troublemaker, that I feel like I kind of like relate to. And I just... I don't know. I really love those movies, and they always make me feel really good, and I feel happy when I watch them. And they're probably one of my favorite just movies of all time. So, you know, obviously there's things like Star Wars and stuff, but if I'm going with something that's a little different that, you know, not everybody says, it's Back to the Future. The other in comics, I would say, while we all don't really like Joss Whedon anymore, is X-Men Run.
Astonishing
is fantastic. It was great for me because I'm a huge Colossus fan. And when he gave up his life to help cure the Legacy virus, I was bummed. But in comics, usually you come back, and they brought him back in an amazing fashion. In that series, it was so powerful. He was being tortured by this alien, and Shadowcat is the one that finds him, and somebody shoots her, the bullet phases through her, and it's like ting, and she turns around and he's standing right there, and then he just pummels this guy. And that issue alone and that scene gives me goosebumps when I read it. So that is one of my favorites. And then the other thing would probably be Age of Apocalypse, because that's when I first heard of Joe Madureira, and I was still really big into art and drawing myself, and he was like 18 and he's doing these designs for costumes and all the promo stuff for Pizza Hut. And they're like, hey, let's let this 18-year-old be like the visual architect of this giant X-Men thing that we're going to do. That's like never been done before. And it really inspired me to keep working hard and drawing. So
for a second, I thought you meant that he actually designed costumes for employees at Pizza Hut.
No.
I was like, this is awesome.
Like a sauce tattoo that comes down there.
Like something. Two slices as a domino mask. Like.
Yeah. So he was very inspiring me to see a guy that was like my age, essentially, running this huge story for Marvel. So, yeah, those would be my three things.
Yeah. Well, I think we covered a lot of really great stuff here with that. And yeah. Now I have stuff to like, although most of Rachel's was already stuff that I had already read or watched and do enjoy myself, because I'm a giant Buffy fan. And actually I had the mustard song was my dad's ringtone on my phone. And I actually have the musical on my phone all the time. And every once in a while I'll just listen to it because it's great. And if you guys have never seen it, you really should watch it. You can watch it on a bunch of streaming services right now. So
if you've watched the Star Wars holiday special and you've not watched the Buffy special, your musical you're talking about, then you've done some wrong things in your life. Because the Buffy one is definitely better than the Star Wars holiday special.
Most things are.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, you don't need to have a whole lot of context with the Buffy one. There's a couple parts of the songs like where she talks about coming back to life. That's probably most of the stuff that you really need to know.
But
every time I hear whatever Tara's song is on there,
Under Your Spell.
Yeah. Yeah, Under Your Spell. Yeah. Every time I hear that, I just laugh and laugh and laugh because it's so good.
Well, the way it was edited and the cut at the very end.
Well, the way the phrasing is perfect, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's what Tim kind of hinted at earlier too, was with how we don't like Joss Whedon anymore. I'm also going to add another Whedon masterpiece to my cozy sweater shows, and that's Firefly. Yeah. And it's an easy one to watch when you're having a really bad day and you have nothing else to do. You just watch the whole season and then the movie. Of course, I don't think you end with the movie, though. You'll end up really depressed.
Firefly got ruined for me because when I first saw it, I watched it when it originally aired, and it aired out of order.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't get it. I don't care. So I just wrote it off immediately. But then, like, I loved Dollhouse because I like Elijah Dushku a lot. And that show is way underrated for how good it actually is. Mm-hmm. So
they did that with Clone Wars, too. Clone Wars all came out of order.
Yeah.
I didn't actually know that.
Yeah, yep. There's actually a watch order that you can find online. And Dave Filoni said that one of the reasons that he did that was because Star Wars itself is always out of order. The series started out of order, so it was something that they definitely planned on, was to jump back and forth. You can still watch it and enjoy it, but the best way to watch it is to look up the watch order because it flows a lot nicer. I think by the time you get to like season 5, it's pretty much straightforward, but seasons 1 through 3 are very mixed up. I mean, you're jumping from a couple episodes in season 1 all the way to season 3 and then back to 2. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeez. Oh, if you guys haven't watched Cruel Summer yet, you should totally check it out. It's on Freeform. Yes.
Sorry, I couldn't help it.
I know. I was waiting for it. But Olivia Holtz, who is in Cloak and Dagger, is in it. And it's created by Jessica Biel, who did The Sinner. And it's very much so got that vibe. So if you like that show, holy crap, is this really good? It's only like 2 or 3 episodes in. That could
creep me out.
Yep, I did not that, like oh, yeah.
The Sinner.
This show takes place the same day in 3 years per episode. Like 3 consecutive years all on this girl's birthday is the first episode. And then it's like 3 days later on the next episode. But it's these things that keep happening. So it's really, really crazy. And my wife like came in halfway through because she was exercising or something in the other room. And she's like, what the hell is going on in this show? And I'm just like, you're going to have to watch it from the beginning. I really can't tell you yet.
Yeah.
But a lot of shows do that, though. Like The Wilds did that, and that turned out to be really good.
Sounds like what you just described with your wife walking in. Like every time when I got into Game of Thrones, before my wife Stephanie got into it watching with me, she'd come in the room, she'd be like, hey, what's going on? And I'd be like, there's boobs out. Why do you talk about boobs every time there's boobs out? And it was literally like, you know, for the first 2 seasons, like every time she came in the room, there's boobs out. And I'm like, there's more to this show than boobs. I promise you. And then she got it.
There's dragons. There's boobs and dragons.
There's dragons in the proximity of boobs.
Yeah. Sometimes you get boobs and dragons on the same screen.
Yeah.
And a small bouquet of dongs throughout the show as well.
Yeah.
Small. Small. Looking at you, Theon.
This week I also caught up on, because I couldn't sleep a couple nights, I caught up on movies I haven't watched the first 2 of that I've watched the sequels of. Okay. So I have watched Kong of Skull Island and I have watched Godzilla versus Kong, but I had never seen the other 2 Godzilla movies. So I made sure I watched those and I went, oh, they blew all the plot in these 2 movies. So when they did Kong Godzilla, it was just the big fights. Cool. Yeah. All right. Now I'm just glad that my brain went, okay, so they did have plots. I just missed it the first because I didn't watch the other 2 movies. But they were both good. I thought King of Monsters was probably the best of the Godzilla movies. I think Kong Skull Island was a little better though, but it's mostly because I'm more of a Kong fan.
I enjoyed the new one a lot. For reasons that you said, when I watch it, I thought they did a good job of trying to put together some kind of a story between the two monsters, which was, I thought they did that really well. But I really just watch it for the same reason tomorrow that I'm going to tune in and watch Mortal Kombat. I know that the story is going to suck. It's going to be stupid. Oh, I have a tattoo on my chest and now I'm engaged in Mortal Kombat. I don't care. Rip someone's spine out. Say, get over here. That's all I need to see. Right. Show me fight.
This is the weirdest thing, the weirdest conversation I've ever had with my wife. All right. So she sits down last night and goes, have you ever heard of Mortal Kombat? And I'm like, yeah. And she was like, tried to ask what kind of game it was. I'm like, no, it's literally like two people fighting to the death. That's Mortal Kombat. You know,
it's literally
the entire thing. I'm like, they've had four or five bad movies. There's a new one coming out. It looks a lot better. And she's like, yeah, that one. And I was like, yeah, it's literally free. We can watch it on HBO, like whatever comes out this Friday. Mm-hmm. And she said, like, oh, I'm going over to my friend's house in like May to watch it. Or like, I don't know if they're going to the theater to actually see this or what. And I'm just like, you know, we can just watch this for free, but why aren't you watching this with me? Like, what the hell? I'm just like, this is bizarre. But she has like a nerdy friend who she also hangs out with. It that's I'm hoping she's also pushing her toward that.
What's one thing you Rachel, are you gonna watch that?
Oh yeah.
All right, one thing you want to see in the Mortal Kombat movie, and then John after Rachel.
I mean, it's like the most cliche answer, but I'm excited for a Sub-Zero Scorpion fight.
Yes, that's
pretty much what I was gonna say, and to hear both of them use their catchphrases. Yeah. I also want to see Scorpion legitimately uppercut someone and rip his spine out with his skull.
Have a little, skull attached. Like, just like come up in the corner of the screen at some point and say toasty. Like that's
I want to have some random standby guy in the background just being like, finish him. Like
I kind of want to see a friendship.
I want to see a friendship,
which coincidentally is what was the second stage of my dating life when I was younger. It was the first date and then friendship after that.
You lived in the friend zone.
You were literally married. Don't feel bad for you. Right?
My buddy just texts me. It just pops up on the screen. M. Bison. I know he knows that, but it's just cracked me up. M. Bison.
Right. Well, they did create like a new character for this, is what I heard. I haven't looked into much of anything because I'm not a huge Mortal Kombat fan. I wasn't a Sega person growing up, so you know, I was more of a Nintendo guy.
We had this little shit kid. Oh my god, he was like 5 foot tall in middle school, and it's like his family had money. And if I could remember his name, I would name drop it right now so that everybody would
call him out.
So freaking annoying. And he'd be like, oh, I got my Game Gear, guys. Oh, you want to try Mortal Kombat? Too bad. And it was Catholic school. I don't know how they let this kid come in and play Mortal Kombat.
He had Mortal Kombat in a Catholic school.
Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah, I went to Catholic school. People came in with their Game Gear and did the same thing.
We're sitting because it was like, The you'd come in and you'd sit down in like the lunch area when you first got off the school bus, and you'd wait until they would open the classrooms. Mm-hmm. And everybody huddling up over here, John something. Oh, show, I'm going to shout out a name, and it's going to be because I remember his name.
It's okay.
And I want to get
cut off as we disconnect, and then we'll never know.
I'll put it in the comments.
We used to play Magic the Gathering at my Catholic school, so that was very interesting to in eighth grade be told, no, you can't play this game anymore because there's a card called Unholy Strength, you know. Yeah. And it had a pentagram on it, and we were like, seriously? Yeah. Really? So
where's Billy at right now? I saw him go back there with Father Andrew. What's up with him? I can't play my card, but you know, you get
what. Luckily, I have never known anyone that had to or that had fallen into that crack. That as you will. I know, it's like,
what is happening?
Oh my god. All right, we gotta be done here.
This is a family program.
What? No, it specifically says this is not for kids. So
yeah, it's a family program.
But Rachel, thank you so much for coming on. This has been great. You are welcome anytime.
Okay.
And I think we should take Ron up on his offer, and we should try and do this like maybe once a month or once every like 6 weeks, and try to have somebody on and like we had Rachel on and get like their perspective. And I think it would be fun because this was a lot of fun. So
yeah, right. Hopefully next time I'll have read more comics and can contribute to more of that conversation. But I'm so far behind in reading books that I would be talking about like last year's Batman. So, and we don't like, you know.
I mean, to be fair, stuff didn't come out for like 3 months last year. So you have like a pretty good pickup there. So
yeah, but I also like, I have a bad habit of going, trying to like, I need to find like, you know, these like really old books in trade format and read all 50 of them.
Mm.
I do that
time because I'll buy individual issues, but then they're somewhere in my house. And then I'm like, well, I'll just buy the trade. I know the books are there, but I'm not going to try to take them out. So.
Right.
So. Also, don't forget before we go, that guy came on the screen and you were mad at him. And I want to play the role of troublemaker. So just don't forget the anger that you were feeling earlier. Let him have. And then text us all about how that went.
No, he wants to say hi. Come here.
Right.
You say
it's
hi.
All right.
Say come hi on. To Facebook. And I don't know how many viewers we have. Oh, God, no.
Hey.
Hi.
It's been so long. Oh my god, look at that baby face. Actually, I think that's the longest I've ever seen his hair too.
Really?
Yeah,
I've been making him keep it longer.
Well, I like it's it
easier
it
to good. Like grab him.
Heyo.
We went there. Oh look, he's wearing an Ahsoka shirt now. Just talking.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
we it's a lifestyle.
I only have like 10, so
he only has all of the Ahsoka shirts ever created.
I saw the cool one that he had on for the video that you
yeah,
guys
the Tano jersey. Yeah. That's true. That cool. She thought it was funny that it was supposed to be the number for a Captain America jersey, and it accidentally ended up on the Ahsoka jersey, and she's like, there's no hidden meaning, it was a mistake.
Disney.
It's awesome.
Well, box lunch man.
And both of you. It's good to see both of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, good to see you guys.
You guys too. That's why I popped in earlier. I apologize.
Yeah, he was okay. Talking about someone's like dad that died, and you were like, hey. And that's why I was like, no.
I took a big test today, so my brain's a little like.
He made a face, and I'd seen that face before, and I was like, oh shit, he's in trouble.
What?
You'd seen that face whenever I was the only like woman working at like the our location, yeah. And a customer was being real sexist, and I was like,
yeah.
But all right, guys. Cool. Well, thank you for having me on. I will drunk text you again.
And I was gonna say, at least this time, can we get more than 48 hours lead time before we get that?
Yes.
Okay.
I can't make any promises about when I get wine drunk.
Fair. Well, no, I mean before you get wine drunk and then ask to come on to the show.
I didn't ask, I was invited.
Oh, that's fair. You're right.
Don't put that evil juju on me. You guys did this.
You guys are you're more than welcome to drunk text us all the time. Like, okay, that's
will.
Fine.
I will keep that group chat and you will rue the day.
You will rue it, sir.
Great.
All right.
Guys. Bye, guys.
See ya. All right, Tim, you stay on for a minute because I'm going to close this out, and then I have something to talk to you about afterwards. So that's okay. Good things. So thanks, everybody, for watching and listening. I'm John. With me, as always, is Tim. You're watching the New Dimension Comics Presents The Toddcast. And make sure you support local comics no matter what shop you shop at, no matter where you are. Just keep shop guys employed. That's all we really need. So,
and save me. I'm about to get in trouble, I think.
Maybe. We'll see. Bye, guys.